The Medallion, Chapter 22. The throbbing pain in Corvin's head increased as a white light shone into his eyes from overhead. The room he was now in was a smaller version of the round prison cell where he'd met Tirith and Morgan on his first journey to the core. Twisting his head around, he located the door just as it opened and a figure in white appeared. Tirith? He strained to make his vision come clear. No, it was Kate, and she was calling to him and holding out the glowing medallion. She hadn't taken it to the evil master after all. He tried to answer her, but she faded away along with the overhead light. He's coming around, a girl's voice reverberated around him, as if he were inside the stone church in Fenwood. I'll get word to our guardian, another voice responded from somewhere in the distance. Corvin opened his eyes. High above him was a curved dome with painted faces staring down at him. Was he in the library at Kadir? He blinked. No, this ceiling was clean, without any trace of dark smoke stains. The paintings were not as detailed as the ones in Kadir, but the faces were kind and an odd sense of peace settled over him. He tried to stretch out his limbs, but they were tightly bound to a hard surface. Tipping his head back, he winced as a lump on the side of his head pushed against the restraints. Pleasant Face appeared above him, a girl with the greenest eyes Corvin had ever seen. She glanced over her shoulder, then bent lower and laid a hand on his cheek. I'm sorry she hit you. You scared us when you were thrashing about and making that awful sound. Footsteps approached, and the green-eyed girl stood to attention. Corvin shifted his body to get a better view, and the ropes dug into his wrists. An elegant woman with long white hair stepped in beside the table. Her smooth skin was that of a young girl, but her eyes betrayed an aged sadness. Pushing his hand open, she examined each fingernail, then lifted up the sleeve of his robe and probed along his forearm. Stick out your tongue. Her voice was soft, but it carried the weight of a command, and Corvin obeyed without hesitation. She tilted his head forward and felt along the bump above his ear. Unbind him. He's no danger to us now. She placed her hand on Corvin's forehead. Give him something to eat and drink, and when he is able to walk, bring him to my garden. She left his side and crossed the room, engaged in a whispered conversation with someone else, and then she left. The green-eyed girl jumped to his side and quickly untied the cords. Corvin lay still and measured his remaining Lumian strength. The white-haired woman was right. He was no danger to anyone. There was barely enough energy in him to keep his heart pumping. You can sit up now. Corvin pushed himself up on the edge of the table. The room tilted crazily around him and he closed his eyes. Hands grabbed him from both sides. She hit him too hard. Another girl spoke. Her husky voice carried her annoyance well. I told him it wasn't our fault. Help me carry him to the bench. They're more comfortable. Corvin was whisked across the room, his feet never touching the ground. The dizziness passed and he opened his eyes as they sat him down on a cushioned bench sent into an alcove in the wall. He tried to talk, but his dry throat would not let the words out. Here, the green-eyed girl offered him a leather-like sack that sloshed in her hands. Take a drink from my flask. Pulling a cork from the narrow end, she held it up to his mouth. It was the flavor of the purple fruit, but with a hint of lemon. He drank deeply and gave it back. She smiled at him as she twisted the stopper back in place. Thank you, he croaked. The other girl pushed onto the bench beside him. She was stocky and looked like she was strong enough to have carried him to the bench by herself. Taking a packet from inside her tunic pocket, she unwrapped the end and held it out. Try some of this. It was the shape of a thin hamburger patty, but tasted more like raisins or dates. He bit off a larger piece, and the girl smiled broadly. It's one of my favorites, too. The green-eyed girl squeezed in on the other side of the short bench. Would you like another drink? Corvin nodded and took the flask from her hand. As he tipped his head back, he caught sight of the tall girl he had seen at the falls. She marched across the floor with the handle of her short sword cupped firmly in her hand and a crossbow slung over her shoulder. The two other girls jumped to their feet as she stepped in front of the bench. Our guardian will see him now. You two can return to the guardhouse. He's still a little dizzy, the stocky girl replied. He might need our help to walk all the way to her quarters. If he falls, I can get him back to his feet. She patted the hilt of her sword. Corvin handed a drink to the green-eyed girl. She shook her head. You can keep it for now. I'll get it back from you later. She smiled at him and stepped back. The shorter girl pushed another round cake into his hand. And please take this with you. I find one is never enough. The tall girl shook her head and gestured for the others to move along. As they left, the green-eyed one giggled and gave a final small wave before they turned the corner. Ignore the behavior of my companions, the girl spoke tersely. They have never been around a male of your age. She motioned for him to follow and turned on her heel. Corvin pushed himself off the bench and followed her across the marble floor. He wasn't dizzy, but his head still ached. There are no men here? She didn't look back. Men, yes. Boys like you, no. Corvin fell back a step and looked down at his feet. He still had the gray slippers on, but they had taken away the tunic of the sisters that Atiya put on him, along with the sword. As he followed, he checked around his neck. Madame Torig's medallion was still safe. He flexed his shoulders and felt the straps of the pack tighten on his back. Turning from the long hallway, the girl led him into an open portico beside a small garden. Water cascaded from the hands of a statue of a child and splashed into a small pond. The white-haired woman stood to one side of the pool. Her eyes were closed and her hands were also held out, palms up. The tall girl pushed Corvin down on a stone bench and stood over to whisper in his ear, "You will wait here until she has completed her meditation. I will be close by." She pulled her sword out a few inches. "Don't try anything. You are as good as dead now that you have consumed our light anyway." She withdrew behind one of the pillars surrounding the garden. The older woman opened her eyes but stared straight ahead as if she were looking right through the statue. Her hands came up and her fingertips touched together. She stayed in the pose for so long it appeared she'd also become a statue. He occupied himself, finishing off the drink and the round cake. Finally, the woman took a deep breath and turned toward him. "Ah, you have received food and drink. We all need to be refreshed in our bodies," she beckoned to him. "Come with me. I have a better place for us to talk." She walked around the pool and Corvin followed her, casting a nervous glance behind him to make sure a sword wasn't swinging in his direction. On the other side of the garden, a low trellis was draped in vines with silky gray leaves. The woman pointed to a long couch along one side of the leafy canopy. "Please make yourself comfortable," she said, slipping into a cloth sling chair suspended from the trellis. Corvin sat on the edge of a couch embroidered with green vine leaves and tiny purple flowers. She smiled at him. "It is permissible to lie down." Corvin lay back and let himself relax. With so little of the Lumion left inside his body, the short walk had left him exhausted. Leaning back in the suspended chair, she drew up her feet under her. "Now you must tell me how you managed to get through the barrier." Corvin took a deep breath. It was good to finally meet someone down here who understood where he was from. "It was a difficult journey. The first time I would not have made it through, but I found a small crack in the core shield." The old woman stared at him. "I don't think you realize how much trouble you are in. Do not tell me stories. It is important to know how you got here. If others like you get through, they will also be attracted to our Lumions, and in no time we will suffer the same fate as Kadir." Corvin sat up. She was talking about her own city, not the core itself. "I followed the water from Kadir and came over the falls to your city. The water creature at the net almost caught me, and then the girls came to see why the lights failed." He pointed to the garden. "The tall girl was leading them. You can ask her." The woman studied him, and Corvin wished he could take the words back. Now they would know he was the one who had pulled down the vines in the tunnel. Her face grew somber. Placing her feet on the ground, she swiveled the chair toward the fountain. "Lena!" Corvin sat up straighter. That was the name the one-handed Rakash had spoken in the powerhouse. In a flash, a tall girl was beside her, sword drawn and at the ready. "Put your sword away, girl. I just wanted you to clear something up for me." "Yes?" "Were you at the entry tunnel earlier today, by the falls?" "Yes, just as the light was fading." "And what did you find?" "One of the broken had come down from Kadir through the water and tried to steal a Lumion. It pulled a few down from the ceiling before the Volusk drowned it." The old woman stood to her feet. "And why didn't you report this?" The girl sheathed her sword. "I did. I reported it to the gatehouse." "To the gatehouse? Why not to me?" The girl pointed to Corvin. "For this very reason, you do not take the theft of our Lumion seriously enough. They have been going missing for more than 2 segments, and you have done nothing about it. The gatehouse guards asked me to report directly the next time it happened, and I did." The woman put a hand on the girl's shoulder. "Lena, I do care about the thefts, and I have been investigating how they've been getting through the barrier and into the energy house." Corvin struggled to his feet. "I didn't eat the seed in that building. The leader of the Rakash did." Lena leapt forward and grabbed Corvin by the collar and lifted him off the bench. Her voice was thick with anger. "Do not mention their name in our city. It is forbidden." She thrust him into a heap on the cushioned bench. The white-haired lady left her chair and pulled the angry girl away. "Stop it, Lena. I do not think this one understands the rules in our city." The girl twisted away from her hand. "Then send him back through the gatehouse to the City of Night where he belongs." "How would that help him? He would either go mad with the hunger for more or find his way back here again. This was one of the downsides of our plan for survival. We divided the city to control the desires our males have for the Lumians, but now we have no way to help those who fail. Lena turned away. Once they start, they're beyond our help. We must turn them over to the gatehouse to be banished beyond the barrier. It is the only way to keep the city cleansed of their kind. The older woman shook her head. I think there is a better way. Look at this one. We can see he has eaten of the seeds, but it has not been many. Perhaps we can help him conquer the temptation. He is young, and we could teach him to live with the Lumians close at hand, but never eat another seed. If we can find a way to do this, our families could live together once again. The gatehouse says that's not possible. What if they are wrong? I often think of your father. He had only eaten one seed, and we immediately sent him to the gatehouse. He even went willingly, for he thought they would help him. Lena's lip trembled. And he never came back. Her eyes filled with tears as she left the garden and disappeared behind the statue. The old woman pointed at Corvin. Is this what you want for your life? Ruined lives left behind while you enjoy the pleasure of the Lumian seeds? If you do not stop now, that is the only path open to you. Listen to the story of Lena's father. Think of those most precious to you, and at least decide you will stop for their sakes. She wiped tears from her eyes. Now you must wait here while I find out what the gatehouse is up to. It may already be too late if they are coming for you. Corvin watched as the woman left the garden. She was telling the truth about the seeds. Each time he consumed one, the excitement was decreasing, and it was taking more to give him the same sense of power. He lay back on the couch. He did want to care about others more than himself. That is why he returned, to rescue his father and take the sadness away from his mother. He needed to give up the seeds, but it was for the very same reasons that he couldn't, at least not yet. Without more of the Lumium power, he couldn't do anything to help the people he cared about. A sharp pain crossed his chest. He rubbed it, and the sharp points of the medallion poked through the fabric. He pulled it out and examined it closely. This one that Madame Torrig had given him was different from the one Kate was wearing in the strange dream room. The glowing one must still be giving her comfort and guidance, for she looked more like herself, and he could see in her eyes that she still cared about him. Tsark must have been wrong about her. She wasn't under the control of the Black Band. He needed to find Kate and ask her what had really happened back at Tsark's dwelling. But first he had to find a way to rescue his father, even if that meant eating one more Lumian seed.